just want to share with you on this title. Overcoming the weights and running your race in 2024. Overcoming the weights. Yeah, and running your race in 2024. Let me open with these remarks. At the beginning of every year, every one of us, every single one of us, would like our fortunes to change or to become better. Every beginning of the year, you wish, you pray, you desire to have a better year than the previous one. Am I talking to anyone here? We wish for a better year, especially financially. And then health-wise. You know, we all wish for those long-standing needs that you could not get your hands on in 2023. You are praying and hoping 2024 is the year you will get them. You look forward to that ultimate breakthrough. That is why this word breakthrough has such a powerful meaning in January. You kind of hope that they are going to call me and say, now it's your turn. 2024 is your turn. Am I talking to people here? That is why many Christians fall victim to dopamine producing prophecies. Dopamine producing prophecies. Yeah, a lot of Christians at this time of the year, and even at the end of the year, during the crossovers, they fall victim to dopamine producing prophecies. But if you become honest with yourself, it's a circle. Happens in January. Go through the year. Nothing happens. And then you come back to January. It's the prophecy again. So it just keeps going on and on. You need to reach a point where you get tired of that. Did you hear what I arranged? I'm no more going to be looking for a special prophecy in the year. It is not to say God does not speak, but I am not going to have that desperate feeling of wanting to hear the prophecy that will solve my problems. You know the generic prophecies? This is the year of financial breakthrough. This is the year of financial transfer. This is your year.
So far. Your time has come. Sow a seed for a powerful year. And the ones that rhyme with the years. I only remember 2010. Because they call it 2010. Yeah, things are going to turn. What are they saying about 2024? Yeah? Huh?
Focus.
20 focus. It doesn't sound like 24. They make it sound like the 24. Eh? 20 or 20 more. 2024. 20 more. 2020 more. Mazalan, we are taken for a ride. We are taken for a ride. When I was thinking about
2024,
one of the things I just felt in my heart, and normally these things I feel them as the year goes to an end, that there are specific people, Christians, who are going to get tired of where they are. Who are just going to say, I've been playing for too long. 2024, I'm in business with Christ. I am going to serve God faithfully. That's just what I felt. But you know, with these prophecies, it's not going to take long. We're going to February, March. As soon as we hit February, March, and people realize nothing is happening, we go back to our old ways. And we hope it, maybe next time. You know, the thing is that at the beginning of the year, a lot of people are searching for that magic or power word. That will turn things around. It's time we realize there is nothing like that. I'm not looking down on prophecies. Yes, there can be prophecies, but for the majority of the cases, God does not work like that. Every turnaround, every breakthrough, every desired outcome will not manifest unless there is an intentional, steadfast, and focused partnership with God. Bazalwane, 2024 is
12
months. It's not January. It's 12 months. Right now, we are having heat and rain. Storms in other places. February comes. The weather comes down. We're going to autumn. We're going to winter. The cold months are coming. The windy months are coming. The world is still going to have problems. Things are still going to happen. Unfortunately, we are still going to be hearing about disasters here and there. God forbid, but there might be new wars as I study and look at how nations are thinking.
Hey.
It's like some nations are boiling with the desire to fight. And then we are going to come to December. So 2024 is a marathon. 12 months. Tell your neighbor it's 12 months. That's why, if you are going to make anything of 2024, you can't rely on how you feel on January. You must be ready for the long haul. Get ready to pray when you don't want to pray. Get ready to stand. Get ready to fight. Get ready to resist. Get ready to win. But get ready to be intentional to say each month will have a meaning. Somebody say, I'm listening. The Bible says in
Isaiah 1:19,
he said, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. He said, if we do not get weary in doing well, we shall reap in due season. The thing that all of us must seek at the beginning of each year is to find God's direction. Lord, what is your direction with my life? Let us not prioritize our pressing needs. Because most of the time our pressing needs are material. Let us first seek the Lord. Because the Bible says, seek first the what? The kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. And with that in mind, I am going to summarize what I have here. The detail I think I will put in our Wednesday prayer meetings. Wednesday Bible study, sorry. So if you have your Bible, let's read Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2. Please open it in your own Bible and let's read it together. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's read together. Go. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let's read verse 2 loudly. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now let me read it to you in the New Living Translation. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has said before us, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. You remember the champion of the host above? And captain of my destiny. To you alone I make my boast. For you alone are Lord of all. Amen.
Amen.
Now let's go through a few definitions. The verse starts by saying, since we are encompassed by so great a cloud of witnesses or surrounded. To surround is literally to surround, to encompass, right round. Now, if something encompasses you, regardless of which direction you turn, you will see it. Am I talking to anyone? If you are encompassed, if you are surrounded, it means there is a circle that is made around you. So, if you turn any direction, you will face what is surrounding you. So, the writer says, since we are surrounded by a massive, a huge crowd of witnesses. In other words, all these people that are mentioned in chapter 11, that the Bible tells us that they walked by faith. You may not see them, but the Bible says in the spirit they are encompassing you. You are surrounded by heroes of faith. You know what it means? It means regardless of what happens in your life, you will have a hero who went ahead of you, whom you can refer to and say, if God did it for Abraham, he will do it for Wanka. The Abraham who waited for 25 years just to get a son, I will wait until my breakthrough comes. I will not stop running the race. Somebody listening to me, if your life turns into this direction and you face a financial challenge, remember in the spirit, you are facing a witness. There is a witness in that place. You can look at them and say, if they overcame, I can also overcome. These are heroes you find in the scriptures. These are people like you. They walk like you, breathe like you. They had to eat like you. They cried like you. The same sun that you are feeling today, the same sun, they felt it. It's not a new sun, it's the same sun Abraham walked under.
Amen.
Somebody say, help me, Lord.
2024
is not January.
2024
is 12 months.
Amen.
And you have to determine.
There's
not 1 month. You're going to stop the race. You will run the whole 2012. Come rain or sunshine. They even say dark or blue. Through thick and thin. I will not stop running my race. I will finish 24 and enter 25 and finish
25. Amen.
Look at your Bible and see a very powerful scripture just before Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 39 and 40, where
Hebrews chapter 11 ends.
Can you see that? It says, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise.
You
see
that?
All these people, they did not receive the complete promise. Let's read 40 together. If you have it, let's read it. Go. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect without us. Yo. That is really challenging, Bazalwane. That all these great men and women of faith, God deliberately said they may have believed, but they are not perfect until we come.
Amen.
It's heavy. It puts a big responsibility on us. That the faith of Moses that opened the Red Sea is not perfected. The faith of Daniel who landed in the lions and they did not touch him is not perfected. The faith of David, who fought wars and overcame, brought down Goliath.
Joseph,
you name them. Their faith without our faith is not complete.
Amen.
I will tell you why. Please read what the Bible says. Go back to verse
40.
The answer is there. Go back to verse
40.
He says in verse
40,
God did what? Provided what? Something better for us. Something that is better than for them. That they should not be made perfect without us. Yo, Bazalwane. We are the better of the Old Testament. But the Bible still says in verse 39, they received a good report or a good merit. This cloud of witnesses, So the better thing involves us. Why does God call it better? I'll tell you why. It is because, you see, they operated in the old covenant. And when you check them, all of them, all these elders of faith, every single one of them believed God outside Christ. Jesus had not yet come. The New Testament had not yet come. But still they believed God. The whole Hebrews 11 is a chapter about people who believed God in the Old Testament. But when the New came, it came with better promises. It came with the Savior and better promises. What makes it better is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Shoo.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, what makes it better is Jesus Christ. Why do I say Jesus Christ? The Bible says, when we run this race, we are not just running the race. It says we are looking. Looking unto who? Unto Jesus, who is the Word. Who is the author and the Word. And the finisher of our what? Our faith. Our faith is born because of Jesus. Our faith develops because of Jesus. Our faith develops and perfects because of Christ. Who do they look to? You know what they said? They said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who makes heaven and earth. You see, the reason why they talk about the hills, it's because they knew that men like Moses, they met God on the top of the mountain. Amen. And they knew that the hills were somehow a representation of the elevation of where you find God. But they knew. You know what, Zalwane? Let me read you something. I want you to see something. In chapter 11, verse 10. Look at what Abraham did. When Abraham believed, the Bible says, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What did God say? Go, I am giving you a land. He said, Abraham, I'm giving you ground. Canaan. I'm going to prosper you and give you land. But somehow,
Abraham
knew there is another land. It is not ground. It is not soil. Soil is the lower form of it. There is a city that God is building with his own hands. Jump to verse 13. I want you to see something. It says, these all died in faith. not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Verse 14. For those who say such things, declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly, listen to them, Bazalwan, if they had called to mind that country which they had come out, they would have opportunity to return. But now, they desire a better. There is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared a city for them. Even though they got the promise in their time, which was material, they knew there was something better. You know what the Bible says. It says when the prophets prophesied, they were prophesying with envy. I'm sorry, maybe I'm using the wrong. Yeah. They were prophesying having a desire. They wanted to look into the things they were talking about. They spoke things and they wished God could show them. What is this that I'm talking about? They talked about him, but they wished they could see him. Listen, Bazalwan. You are the unfolding of God's grand plan. They were speaking about a people who looked like God. They were speaking about a people who were sons of God. And they were saying, who are those people? How will they operate? The Spirit of God came upon them. And they were speaking about a people who, inside whom the Spirit lived. And they wished they would live in our time. Is somebody hearing me today? They were wishing. They
wish to see.
They
wish to see the kind of land they were talking about.
Listen to this. They say they were wishing for a heavenly city. Hey! You need to jump to chapter 12 and discover that the heavenly city is not a heaven. It's the church. It's the church. That heavenly city. Look at your neighbor and say, we are the heavenly city. Now, do you see why they could not be perfected without us? That affects now. Now listen. That affects how you must start to understand the way you must run the race. You have to run the race because you have a responsibility of bringing and manifesting the better thing. So he says to us, therefore also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Tell your neighbor, run your race with responsibility. Now, when he says, okay, let me give a 21st century example. If somebody comes and stands here and they are wearing work clothing, okay, the helmet and everything, and I say strip off your clothing, what is he going to do? He's going to take off. It implies that he is wearing them, of course. And therefore, he takes, you can only strip off what you are wearing. That's what I want you to see. Am I right?
Yes, Maruti.
So, here he is not saying, make sure you do not embrace. He says, strip off. Strip off. Sin. Strip off the weights and run the race. It implies that you must self introspect.
Amen.
What is it?
I'm
in 2024. But what is it in my life that makes God say to me, I must strip off the weights. I must strip off the sin. Is there a hidden sin? I want to repeat. 2024 is not January.
2024 is January.
February is coming.
February.
We're still going to go on until December. So whatever you are doing now, you make a decision that's going to take you up to December. Live in such a way that you will not stop on the way during the course of this year. And that is going to happen by you and me introspecting ourselves. What is it in my life that has got the potential, even if it's not doing it now, but the way things are going, this thing has got a potential of catching me somewhere in the course of the year. Strip it off now. Remove it now. There is a saying that you crush the eggs before they become a serpent. Strip off the things that are going to make you stop somewhere in 2024. Do you know what this word ensnare means? He said the weight and the sin that ensnares us easily. To ensnare is to compete with. To ensnare is to compete with. It's to derail. It's to thwart. In other words, to successfully oppose you. Beloved, I have to put it the way I'm putting it now to save our year. To save our 2024. For us to have a successful 2024. Let us self-introspect. Let us look at things about us. Things in us. You know, there are certain habits. They are not dangerous now. But you know that as time goes on, they may just completely stop you. Or slow you down. So, besides sin, what is sin? Sin is simply crossing the line. I remember my wife used to say, when she was still a young Christian, God warned her about moral or issues of morality. He said, if you cross this line, you will die. It is to transgress. Transgress. To violate the rules and the laws of God. Remember, I once taught you that when you continue in let me put it this way. When you continue violating God's rules and you do not see immediate consequences, do not think there may not be any consequences.
Amen.
Because some things build up. We have to build up good habits. We have to build up a life that you and I are sure. If I continue this way, I'm going to blast 2024. I'm going to shine in 2024 if I continue this way. So he says, we have a huge crowd of witnesses. People who have experienced faith in all its shades. Therefore, we must run there. We must first remove the weights. And the things that have the potential to slow us down. Listen, when you run the race, all your blessings are in your race. Because he says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will what? Will be added unto you. Don't worry about your needs and so on. Now, what are the weights? What are the other weights? What are the other weights? Because listen, it is impossible for you to be carrying weights and running at the same time. No, you can't carry weights and run at the same time. Let me first begin by explaining a weight like this. Anything, even person, who has the potential to slow you down, to derail you, or stop you from doing God's will in your life. So not all weights are obvious. Tell your neighbor, not all weights are obvious. You need discernment. Listen to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4. Verse 18. It says, now these are the ones sown on thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, I want to talk with about only one thing here. Jesus said, the cares of this life. What are the cares of this life? The cares of this life are the things we care about. Our responsibilities. The things that need to be done. The things that are important to life. Jesus says, are you listening to me? Jesus says they have the potential of making the word unfruitful. In other words, they can stop your race. How do those things stop our race? It is when you overload your life with responsibilities that are so much that you will not even have time for God. Bazalwane. I know when every year when I preach the first service, we shout the amen. This time we are sober. But Bazalwane, there is only one Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So in 2024, don't become everybody's savior. Don't become everybody's savior. Hey, you can't attend every wedding, every funeral, every party. Every child christening. Ah. When are you going to rest? Every weekend you are out somewhere. Huh? Even at your job. You don't take leave. Because man talk, give me a little about talk.
You always say they need me.
I will ask about replace her tomorrow.
Exactly, Marut.
But wait, mom, merong o kantelena, kantelwe na. Who said that?
You think you are indispensable?
Who said that? The cares of this life.
Matwanya wale fatseli.
Huh? You must learn to turn some people against.
I'm sorry, excuse me.
I would love to come, I am not able to come. When they say why, tell them it's a long story. Tell them it's a long story. It does not even have a summary.
I thought I cut it short.
Part of your me time must involve your time with God. When you say me time, it must also involve me and God's time. So you can't let the cares of the world. Some of you, you get sick. You know all of them. Sometimes you buy those pills even before the pain comes because you know. Because you are the savior of the world. You are the savior of the world. You have no time to sit down with God and be quiet. Bo mama.
Bomme.
You don't need to cook every day.
Every day, amen.
I'm Jidao at the Ardi Jodica or Sehabroto. There is peanut butter. There is butter, there is jam. There is kettle, there is tea. Itirele boroto oje. Kachenu ki kuditse.
I'm resting today.
Your family will not die because they don't eat cooked meals every day. They will still remain alive.
Amen. I'm helping out women here.
My wife will sometimes say, Honali something go frigging, simole mo, how to get lala, ukana watula, wa jabe giri sharp.
And I was saying, Mosariamo condom plala, honaling, lingo frigging, I guess very get lalanga, it's full of the kerakusia.
Come on, Bontate, let's give our wives a break. Let's give them a break.
Men are fem,
you know, this tradition, Yahore, na haiki jidi jota maoban.
They need to be warmed. Put them in the microwave.
We need to run the race without weights. And some of these weights are domestic chores. I shapa and honorable me habai kutsi. Even when the government says this is a, what do they call it? Holy day.
Some women do not rest.
Men are hasi holiday. Kale ke batla chance ya o tlatswa dikobotse, and there she is the whole day.
They now work for the whole day, even on a holiday. Ba khata dikobo.
That's why sometimes when people pray, they don't know what to say to God because they don't read the Bible.
Amen.
I said some of this stuff, I will get more specific into them when we restart the Wednesday prayer Bible study. Let me just look and see some of the things I can just mention because our time is up. One of the things you need to look at when it comes to weights is relationships. Are your relationships going to become grace connections or weights? Another area to check weights is in the area of your hobbies, your talents. If you don't put your talents and your hobbies in the right place, they will chow all your time, even the time that God wants. Every time you have a free time, you are on your hobby, you will die spiritually. This is a weight. You can't run your race and still be carrying those weights. Paul spoke about persecution. And he said, I do not care for my life. Okay, let's close with this. What is the race? Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. What is the race? The race is how faith in God governs your life. How you serve God by faith. How you obey Him by faith. How you go through the mountains by faith. How you get through the valleys by faith. How you face the challenging circumstances of life without abandoning your faith in Christ. In other words, the race is not about pastors and people who are so-called called into the ministry. The race is for every single one of us. Look at your neighbor and say, you have a race to run in
2024.
I will just touch on looking unto Jesus. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus. That's how you overcome the weights. You look unto Jesus. What does it mean to look unto Jesus? It is to look unto Jesus means that you have your faith and your trust in Him. But not only that, you find Him in His Word.
Amen.
When you look unto Jesus, you can't look unto Jesus if you don't look into the Word. In fact, we were taught that you can't look at two places at the same time. For an example, you cannot look at your watch, at your phone, and look at your wife at the same time. Am I talking to you? I'm protecting. You can't be looking at your phone and you hear everything your wife is saying. And she says, what did I say? And you say, no, keep talking. I'm listening, keep talking. You can't look at the weights and look at Jesus at the same time.
Amen.
We are taught that you are like what you look at. Paul said, whilst we behold as in a mirror through the word of God, we look at the glory of God, we are transformed. If your eyes are on the weights, you are going to be transformed into the image of the weights.
Amen.
Let me tell you now, as you are sitting there, let me tell you how you can know what you have been looking at. I'll tell you, it's a very simple test. I want to show you how you can see what you have been looking at. You know how you see it? Through your thoughts. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about where the money is going to come from? Are you worried? Are you disappointed? Are you fearful? Are you anxious? Are you uneasy? Are you unsettled? It's a sign of where your eyes are looking. Because when they look, they get transformed according to where they are looking. You are afraid, anxious, disappointed because you are looking at those things. But if you look unto Jesus, you are not going to be allow yourself to worry. You are not going to allow yourself to be anxious. You will not be afraid. You will not be concerned. Even when things did not work, you will not be disappointed. Why? Because you are looking unto him who said, do not worry. Believe in me, because I have overcome the world. And John says, whoever believes overcomes the, no, whoever is a son of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. When you have your eyes on Jesus, you are going to imbibe the faith. Remember, he is the author and finisher of your faith. And so in 2024, when your eyes are on him, when there is fire, he will take you through the fire. When there is water, he will take you through the water. When you are in a desert, he will open a river in the desert. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? When your eyes are on Jesus, you will never think of giving up. You will never think of surrendering, because you are like who you look at. Look unto Jesus. You know what it says, that verse? It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the Jesus who, because of the joy that was set before him, he despised the cross. When you look unto Jesus, he despised
your problems.
Amen. It says he despised the cross and is now set at the right hand of the Father in glory. He is sitting there. Why? Because God gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When your eyes are on Christ, it will show in your thoughts. When your eyes are on Christ, it will show in your behavior. When your eyes are on Christ, it will come out of your mouth. Because of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You will look at a situation. When it says you will die, you will say, I will not die. It will say you will fail. You will say, I will not fail.
It will say it won't work. You will say it will work because my eyes are not on you. My eyes are on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of my faith. I believe because my eyes are on the one who builds my faith.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Ask them, where are you going to look in
2024?
Tell them, Pella 2024 still has got 12 months. Where are you going to look in February? Where are you going to look in March? Where will you be looking in April? Where will you be looking in May? Where will your eyes be in June? July. August. September. October. November. December. Where will your eyes be? As for me and my house, our eyes shall be on the Lord. Somebody shout, me too. Somebody shout, me too. I will not remove my eyes from the fountain of faith. So you know what? You must be willing to put off the weight. Don't only think about sin. Think about the rest of the other things. And tell yourself, 2024, I am stripping off all the weights. All the relationships that take me nowhere, bye-bye. All the habits, the places that take me nowhere, bye-bye. Now, I am running the race. I don't want my race to stop. I want to finish 2024. And when I look back, I will say, indeed, I ran my race. I finished the will of the Lord in 2024. Woza 25! Woza 25! I'm ready for you. I know how to run. I know the style. I know the method. I have learned it. I've got scars to...